This is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listener-sponsored digital radio, around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course on the beloved NSN app. Rabbi Eric Gerstenfeld is visiting us from Israel this morning. He is here representing an organization, Sword to Shekel. And this is an outgrowth, of course, of the war that began with the massacre of Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah on October the 7th, and we'll discuss what's been happening over the last few months with our guest, Rabbi Eric Gerstenfeld. A pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Hi there. How are you?
How many years are you living in Israel?
5 years. We bought 7 years ago, and we moved there. We made Aliyah 5 years ago.
And so, I mean, this war begins, and we know how it begun, of course, how it began. And this organization did not exist before this war, correct?
Correct.
When did it start existing?
So we started in February. I was walking around in Jerusalem. I live in Jerusalem, and I was walking around, and stores are closing left and right. We're used to seeing crowds around Agrippus and the Shuk. And
even in that area, stores were closed, huh?
Even that area, stores were closing. Stores were moving into smaller areas, because they weren't getting the same traffic they were getting before. Mm-hmm. And there just wasn't as many tourists, by far, as it was before. And it was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking to see this happening. So I went, I had a visit in Baltimore, where I live, before I moved to Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. And I went over to Rabbi Heineman and I said, this is heartbreaking. I feel like I have to do something here. And he encouraged me to do something. And I said to him that I'm learning two Siddurim a day. How do I juggle how much time to spend learning and how much time to spend trying to help these stores? And he told me that even if I have to give up all my learning, that this is something that would be a great mitzvah.
Wow.
And that really impressed me. That really impressed me. And based on Rabbi Heineman, I felt like I really should go into this with my full body and do as much as I can to really help these businesses.
Well, what's the system? How do we, in fact, help these businesses?
So what we do is we collect donations here, and a lot of the businesses do not want to take charity. They're proud business owners. They don't want to take charity. They want business. So what we did is we, through the donations in the States, we buy merchandise from the business. We give the business business.
Right.
That's what we do.
And where does that merchandise go?
And that merchandise we take and we give it as gifts to soldiers as an hakaras hatov for the service they're giving us.
Wow. How many businesses have benefited from the organization's generosity?
So based on my background, I typically do a proof of concept. So we started after we had some organizational things going on. We started in March. So about 2.5 months ago, and we started, and we have currently 10 businesses, and we were able to make the whole cycle work. And I see the whole cycle's working perfectly, and we can easily ramp up. So as a result, I came to the States to do some fundraising so we can ramp up and get this going. And I really have to say, I'd be remiss not to say this, that this is an organization that's unbelievable, the Mana Chai. And they've really helped us a lot in the background work of what we're doing, mentoring us, because I've never gone out to fundraise like I'm doing right now.
So back to my original question, we've been able to help around how many businesses so far, and how high can that number go?
So we're helping out currently 10 businesses. We could easily do hundreds of businesses if we had the money to do it.
So you're telling people this morning, get in on the ground floor.
Yes.
And the truth is that it's sort of a timeless industry that you're in, because unfortunately, and we see this all the time, there are too many times where businesses have to adjust because of either wartime or military realities, right? Miluim, reserves, etc. I mean, we're talking about people who, even during peaceful times, have to sometimes close down for a month just to go serve their reserve duty.
I have a Miluim guy. He runs a gas grill store. He's a one-man show, more or less.
Yep.
And he's in Miluim. He's in charge of 100 soldiers. And October 7th happened. They called him up right away. He was out of his business for 4.5 months. 4.5 months. I think by the second month, his wife had to take out a loan. And he came back after the four and a half months to a dead business. And he thought he was closing. He thought it was finished because most of his business, he lives in Pekin, and most of his business is from people in the north. Mm-hmm. All the people in the north evacuated. He had nobody to give him business. So he was closing. We called him up. Rachel, our admin woman, called him up. I don't know if it was 2 days, a couple of days after, and told him what we do. And he said to us, a bunch of people have asked him, we'll give you money to help you. And he doesn't want money. He's a proud person. He's been in business for 4 to 6 years and successful, and he's a gibor. The guy's a gibor, total gibor. And Rachel told him what we do. We don't give charity. We give you business. We want to buy business from you to keep you going. And he got off the phone with Rachel. He told me he sat on the floor and he cried. He just cried because he can keep his business going, get his parnassa going.
Is he still open?
He's still open, yes.
Why'd you name the organization Sword to Shekel? And by the way, folks, if you're looking to donate, it's Sword, the number 2, and then Shekel.org. Sword, the number 2, Shekel.org. Easy to donate. It's on the top right of the webpage. Why is that the name of the organization?
It's the name of the organization because the campaign that Israel is doing right now is Swords of Iron. So we wanted to couple in with that. So we called it Sword to Shekel.
Right, and those shekels, as you said, go to help those whose businesses have been affected by the war, and that number continues to grow. The subtitle is Thanking Soldiers, Saving Businesses. You certainly outlined for us the saving business end. The thanking soldier end is pretty easy to understand. Any items that you collect and any food items, etc., that are available, courtesy of people like who you just described, the gentleman up north, literally whatever you buy gets to the soldiers as a thank you to them, whether it's a gift, an item, something they need, some food items to eat, etc., etc., etc. And that is the big thank you to the soldiers. And I can only imagine what their reaction is, because if the business owners are too modest or too proud to take tzedakah, the soldiers very often are either too proud or don't understand why they're being treated in this heroic fashion.
They're very touched. They're very touched. For example, for a Miluim guy who has a family, yeah, we give him a gift ticket to a inn in Sfat. He can have a 2-night stay with him and his family.
Nice.
And we give him
The innkeeper benefits, obviously.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And we give him tickets to two restaurants in Sfat. Yeah. We give him ticket to a liquor store in Sfat. Yeah. We give him a ticket to a makolet in Sfat. Really, the whole package for that Miluim guy is approximately $700. And he is so touched, and he's exhausted, and he's just come back to see his family.
And they're exhausted.
And they're exhausted.
They also are mentally spent.
They're exhausted too, and they're so happy, and they feel the love that's coming from United States, hugging them for what they're doing for us, and they get some rest and relaxation that they need so badly.
By the way, the website has some great stories. You've already given us a couple, but if anybody wants to read further about who you're benefiting and which businesses you're saving and the soldiers and how much they appreciate what you're doing, it's all there on the site. Plus, you mentioned Rav Heineman, who to this audience is extremely important. I mean, he's one of the rabbis in this generation who I think everybody across the board looks up to, no matter where they are, including outside of Baltimore. And his statement about this organization and the effort, as you described it earlier, is there on the website as well, so people could check that out. Look, the bottom line is, as you said, you're here to fundraise, and there are a lot of people out there. By the way, Avrami's going to put this on our Israel Chesed page, everybody, NahumSiegel.com/Chesed, NahumSiegel.com/Chesed, the Israel portion, because our Nissan campaign is now over. The Israel portion of the campaign has now gone back to the top of the page. So Sword to Shekel later today will be at the top of our NahumSiegel.com/Chesed page, easy to access. And of course, our news story will lead you to the Sword to Shekel website, and it's really easy to donate. You just click there on the upper right hand side, Sword to Shekel, Sword the number 2 Shekel.org. You alluded earlier to your background. Is there a business background that has been the beneficiary of this organization? What kind of background was it?
I've been in high tech.
Oh, there you go.
So we do proof of concept. Right. You know, we try things
first. And you get things done quickly.
And we get things done as quickly as we can. Two months, we're really up and running. We have a whole vetting system with a finance person. We collect all the finance documents of the place to make sure that who we give to needs it badly. If there are any loans, we find out about it.
Right.
Just today, we have another store that we wanted to bring on.
What city?
In Tzfat.
You're doing a lot of work in Tzfat. Nice.
You know, Tzfat's a ghost town right now. It's a total ghost town. It's saddening. It's unbelievable.
Residents are still there.
And the residents are still there. I could go to Tzfat and pick up 100 to 300 stores without a problem and know they really need us.
Oh, gosh.
You know, so we got an email from somebody that we're going to be helping this month. She said, we're deeply touched by your offer to help us, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. Besides the financial support that you're offering, which is a lot in itself, to us here from the Lebanese border, 12 kilometers from the Lebanese border, your generous offer to help us give us a feeling that we're not alone, that we are seen and that our plight is shared. Knowing that and the moral support are no less important than the funds that you're generously offering.
When did you get to the United States? How long ago?
I got here 2 weeks ago, and 2.5 weeks ago.
And how has the response been? Do you speak to American members of the American Jewish community who are as enthusiastic about this project as you, the soldiers, and the businesses are?
Everybody finds this project to be a unique project because it's a two-for-one, and people want to help the businesses. People,
I hope they've been generous.
You know, there's a lot of donation fatigue right now. Yeah. And it's been difficult to get funds. I'm working on it. I tell people we have war fatigue, and there's nothing we can do in Israel about that.
Yeah.
You know, but people in general have been incredibly generous to every organization, and they're all good.
Right.
You know, so whoever feels this in their heart will eventually get a video on our website, so you can see the people firsthand. And we have some other initiatives to help us raise funds that we plan on doing.
Wow, pretty cool. All right, everybody, this is it. Rabbi Eric Gerstenfeld leads this effort. It's called Sword to Shekel. He's here, as you heard, to fundraise. Now, obviously, he's fundraising while he's in Israel as well. We could have done this conversation from there, but because he's here in the United States, we invited him in to pitch to everybody in this audience the amazing cause of Sword to Shekel, and it's really easy for you to click and donate by going to Sword2Shekel.org, and that's about it. And again, these businesses are being saved, certainly being helped to a tremendous degree. These soldiers are being thanked, and we get to bridge the gap between American Jewry and Israel, because I like the fact that it sounds like the majority of the fundraising you're doing is coming from the United States, which I think is really important to keep our brothers and sisters, you know, at the helm.
Yeah, right now. And it's a non-political organization. It's non-denominational. It's just about unity to help our businesses and to thank our soldiers.
Yeah, I get it. Believe me, I get it. And I continue to wish you good luck. And we always talk about these types of organizations. We pray for the day they're going to be able to close down. But that day is not in the near future, the way things are going. And as I said, even if it wasn't wartime, there'd be a necessity for this. And we know that from past experience. So good luck growing this organization.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for having us on. I really appreciate
pleasure.
It.
This audience has always been generous when it comes to supporting Israeli soldiers and Israeli businesses, especially during rough times. Go to sword2shekel.org, sword2shekel.org, and be as generous as you can. And don't forget, it'll be up on the page forever at nachumsegal.com/chesed, nachumsegal.com/chesed. This week, Avrami made sure to toss all the Israel-related stuff back to the top of the page since our Nissan campaign has ended, so it'll be really easy to find. NachumSiegel.com/chesed. Again, sword2shekel.org. Make a generous donation and participate in a multifaceted mitzvah. More coming up. It's JM in the AM.